So our scripture for this morning comes from Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 9 to 15. This is Ezra speaking to the people of God. And you saw the distress of our ancestors in Egypt, and heard their cry at the Red Sea. You performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, and all his servants, and all the people of his land. For you knew that they acted insolently against our ancestors. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. And you divided the sea before them. So they passed through the sea on dry land. But you threw their pursuers into the depths, like a stone into mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way in which they should go. You came down also upon Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven, and gave them right ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and you made known your holy Sabbath to them, and gave them commandments and statutes and a law through your servant Moses. For their hunger you gave them bread from heaven, and for their thirst you brought water for them out of the rock. And you told them to go into possess the land you swore to them. Samantha, will you come forward? After Samantha shares, I'll invite Jerry and Luke to come and present their waters. But will you join me in praying with Samantha? God, thank you that you are the one true God, that you brought your people through the wilderness, that from generation to generation you have always provided for them and you provide for us. Whether it is by a cloud, whether it is by fire, whether it is by giving us water, you know what we need. Be with Samantha as she shares your word. Give her joy, give her clarity, give her strength. And may we, may our ears be open to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, so this is my second time preaching, and I feel, especially this past week, and yesterday night too, I felt like Moses. I was like breaking down, I was crying, my anxiety and panic overwhelmed my body, and I was just like, why God, you know, choose someone else, you know, I'd rather just, you know, get out of here, let's get out of here. But I'm here because God told me to be here, and so I'm here. And now, so, as I was researching this, which I knew of the story, but I didn't really go into it or quite understand really a lot about it. And so I went back into Exodus to, you know, get more familiar with Nehemiah. And the Nehemiah text refers back to Exodus when Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. So I have 3 points I kind of want to talk about. So the first point I want to mention is Moses questioning his worthiness and abilities. I want to point out some scriptures that refer back to Exodus, if you guys want to look back, or I'll probably just say them out loud anyway. I'm sure many of us can relate to Moses, as I just told you I can. And so something I wanted to point out was in Exodus 3:11, it says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' God answers in verse 12, 'I will be with you.' And then going into Exodus 4, verse 1, Moses asks, 'What if they do not believe me, or they do not listen to me, and say, the Lord did not appear to you?' And then if you look in verses 10 and 13, chapter 4, Moses said to the Lord, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue.'" And then in 13 it says, "But Moses said, 'Pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else.'" And I found myself last night. I was just in a bit of situation, which I wasn't sure why that situation had come to me last night before the night before I had to preach. And so I was just sitting in bed late, and I was, you know, I got a wave of crying, and, you know, I was breaking down, but then I was like, my hope and trust in God just this year has really grown to, like, an unshakable faith, and that's why I'm standing in front of you, and that's why I didn't retreat. So I do really, really relate to Moses, and I'm sure a lot of us do. We question our worthiness of being a good mother or a good parent, a good husband or wife, a good daughter, anything like that. We always question our worthiness and our abilities that God has given us. Like, he called Moses to speak to them, to lead them. And Moses' hope and trust was so strong that obviously he went through with it and listened to God. So, again, I questioned my ability to be here right now, and I felt like I couldn't breathe yesterday. And I just remember saying to myself last night, just be still, he's with you. And when I was sitting with Luke and Pastor Danilo on Friday, we were talking about God fighting our battles and us just needing to be still because he's with us. And so I started writing because the overwhelming feelings were gone. So I started writing, and another wave of panic came, and I was just confused. I was like, why? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I going back and forth between these feelings? And I had my Bible open, and I just picked my... I do this a lot. I just pick up my Bible, and usually I flip to a random page and just hope it, you know, brings me comfort, and it usually does. But my Bible was open to Exodus 4, signs from Moses, and I grabbed my Bible, and my eyes went right to verse 12, and it says, "Now go, I will help you speak, and will teach you what to say." Now, I've been told, you know, I am articulate with my words, and I'm good at speaking, but speaking in front of people, like, scares me, like, terrifies me. And so I've questioned basically God's ability, the abilities he's given me for such a long time. I'm sure a lot of us have, and I feel like I've done this, like, literally all throughout my life. Like, I've questioned what he's told me to do, what he's given me. Like, I have a great ability to write, and sometimes I just don't exercise that. And so it's just interesting how even back thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, you see these people questioning themselves, questioning God. And we still do that till this day. And so my second point was to bring up God being present for generations to generations. And God fighting for our battles, providing, leading, making a way for the enslaved, the oppressed, and so on. So going into that second point, God has been with us always, even before Bible times, through Bible times, throughout every person speaking in the Bible, through the whole Bible, through after Bible times, through us, through generations and generations, centuries and centuries. And just like God said to Moses, he's speaking to us too. He's speaking to Moses then, but we need to really focus and listen to these words as well, because he's not speaking to them back then. We're supposed to be listening to what he has to tell us now through this. And as I was going through Exodus, I was just blown away that God kind of put it on my heart, because it really related to me, and I felt like it was relating to how I felt about the world around us as well, and the chaos within the world. And so I just thought that was really interesting. But Exodus 3, I think it's 15. "The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of millions and millions of others, the God of Jesus, the God of you and I, from generation to generation, has been always present, always and forever." And then I want to go back into Nehemiah, because that's what I'm preaching on, but I just wanted to, I'll still mention a little bit of Exodus, but in Nehemiah 9, verse 12, it says, "By day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way they were to take." So when I was reading Exodus, I noticed in chapter 13, 21 and 22, it says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light." so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in, I want to make this a point, in front of the people. Verses 21 and 22 says in front of them, leading in front of them. And then if you go to Exodus 19:4-19, I'm pretty sure. 19, yes. Then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's armies withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. So I just thought that point was interesting when I was researching kind of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And I just thought it was interesting how they said, you know, God was going in front to lead them, to show the way, to light, to one step in front of the other, to just take them through the wilderness. And I just thought it was interesting because then when I was reading verse 19, it just said he retreated, you know, and he went back to fight behind them. And I just feel like this is such truth on my life, on all of our lives. You know, it's such truth that God literally, if I've been really learning this year, the simple things in my relationship with God, the focusing on one step in front of the other, and literally grabbing onto his hand is always there, we can grab onto it. We're the ones that let go and retreat. We can grab onto it. It's always there. Jesus, God's hand, is always reaching out. It's in front of us. It's behind us. And, you know, we don't listen. We just don't listen. And I just, again, the Egyptians didn't listen, and neither did Pharaoh. And then at the end, it said, you know, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. And so right there, they got that realization. They wouldn't listen all throughout Exodus. You know, Moses was there, and they wouldn't listen. But then I just thought it was interesting that the cloud of fire. I relate to Psalm 139, it's one of my favorites. And something that stood out to me was then, you hem in before and behind me. And so I just think that part is really important to think about. So, where am I? Okay, yeah. God fights our battles for us, going before us, behind us, and with us. All we need is to be still, stand firm, and do not be afraid. So we all have been slaves to something, oppressed in some way. We have to be aware of these reminders. God, he's not angry. He's sad. He's sad because we can't listen. We can't just open up our ears and listen to God. He's crying out. He's calling out. We're in need of him everywhere, in each one of our lives and everywhere throughout this planet. And it gets me emotional. It really, really does. Because, you know, like what he's put in my heart and the things like that he's put in my mind and how he's kind of woken me up, per se. He's woken me up to certain things and taught me certain lessons. And it's hard for me when I see the world in such chaos, and it breaks my heart. And I'm just like I'm one person. Why do I have to be so overwhelmed with this? Like, why isn't anything happening? Why can't we fix this? And we always look to God, like, why? Why? Why can't you fix this? Why can't you fix this? Right? Why can't we fix this? That's the question. He works through us. It's our job. We're called. Moses was called. I was called to stand up here and be a mess, a beautiful mess that God's created me to be. And so, then I want to go on to point three. That's my point about point two, is just remembering that God is leading us. God is fighting the battles that are behind us, the enemies that are attacking us. Like the enemy, I was sitting in my bed, and I'm not kidding, like my whole self was overwhelmed with emotion. And I was just so confused. I was like, am I being attacked? Like, like I was just so confused, and all I did was just sit there and just cling on to the grace of God. So jumping to point three now. Point three is just So again, it's the reminder of the hope we have in him. It's the reminder because God has to remind us for generations and generations and generations, day after day, day after day, to us ourselves and to the world. He keeps having to remind us. There's a bunch of reminders in here. There's a bunch of reminders in here that we are to listen to. If we look around at the signs, like something I've been noticing is just to look around me, to be more aware at, you know, the beautiful clouds, you know, in front of us leading the way, and the beautiful singing birds, the reminders we need to keep aware. We need to look for the reminders. We need to stop asking why, and look where. It's everywhere. The reminders are everywhere. And so something else I wanted to say real quick, though. So it was Tuesday night, which was really interesting. A Tuesday night, I was taking a client, or a recruit, but a client back to her house, which is in Pittston. So I drove like an hour and a half away, and I was driving home about like between 12 and 1, okay? And I was driving home on the highway, and I was already like getting tired. I was like, I shouldn't be driving, you know? But then, literally water and rain, like just starts pouring down, like so hard that I could not see. I could not see anywhere. I could not pull over. I could not see if there were cars behind me. I couldn't see if there were cars in front of me. I couldn't see where the road was. I couldn't see where I was going. And this is no lie. And I just started crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to get an accident. I don't want to get hurt. Like I'm already all messed up. So I'm just like, please God, like please, like. And then I just, after I just drove through it, I just stood firm. There was a song that came on. And if any of you would like to hear it, just remind me. It's called Confidence, and it just says, you know, give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. And so that song came on as that was happening, and I was just like, I was just holding on. And I just honestly started laughing. I was just laughing. I was like, I see. I see what you're doing, God. Like, even when I can't see, physically, I can't see. I don't know where I'm going. And all I need to do is hold on to you, and the rain will go away, and I can see again. So I just thought that was funny. I was just cracking up at that. I just thought of it, like, as a sign and something to use for my sermon. So that was cool. But let's see what else I have here. Okay. So I mentioned that. To be honest, Pastor Rose and Luke and Danilo and Jerry, and when we were at worship planning last month, so I feel like this point in my life, I got baptized in January, and I feel like this point in my life, I've been like asking God, like, what's next? What's up? Like, where are you sending me? Where am I going? What do you have for me? And I keep asking. I'm still asking. My parents are moving like any moment, and I'm still asking. Like, okay, where am I going? Where do you want me to go? And I just thought it was like I've just been facing a lot of uncertainty in this phase of my life, in this chapter of my life. And so I think it was interesting then that God put this title and this message on my heart. Like, we were just at worship planning, and I saw Nehemiah just right there. And Nehemiah has been something popping up throughout the year. And so I just saw Nehemiah, and I was quick, like, I just told him. I said, I want to preach on that. I didn't even know what. I just saw Nehemiah. I pointed to it. I said, I want to preach on that. Whatever it is, I want that. And I just pointed to it, and here it was this message of hope in the uncertainty, hope in the despair, hope in the confusion, hope in the wondering, hope in the questioning of our worthiness and our abilities, you know, hope for this country, hope for this world, you know. And so I just thought it was really cool that it all gets lined up, you know, the perfect timing and that I've seen, again, just even this year within God's like hand on my life, and the perfect timing is just honestly, I think I laugh and smile so much at God all the time now. I just laugh at him. I'm just like, you're everywhere. Like, I'll be thinking a thought, and a certain song comes on. I'll be thinking a thought, and cardinals bring me a lot of comfort. And so sometimes cardinals will fly right in front of my thing as I'm driving. And I'm just like, that's so cool. And so Yeah, I also wanted to share with you guys a poem that I found as I was, different book, just was reading it as well as researching. And again, it goes in turn with my sermon. And before I even dove into Exodus, before I even dove in and wrote about what this message was about and what Moses was doing, I read this way before. So I'm going to read it to you guys. And Pastor Rose and this church, well, gave me this for my baptism. So it says, hope means to keep living amid desperation, to keep humming in the darkness. Hope is knowing that there is love. It is trust in tomorrow. It's falling asleep and waking again when the sun rises. In the midst of a gale at sea, it is to discover land. In the eyes of another, it is to be understood. As long as there is still hope, there will also be prayer. And you will be held in God's hands. One more thing quick. What I thought... I need to go back to that. I think I lost it. Okay, no, actually. What I thought was interesting is the part about prayer, hope and prayer. You know, what I really found out, you know, I always, like, was scared to pray. You know, when I was, years ago, I was scared. I was like, this is uncomfortable. I don't get it. I don't like being vulnerable. That's just truth. I don't like being vulnerable. I mean, it's getting easier and easier because God's helping me out. He's like, I gotta push you. But I don't like being vulnerable. And when I went to Spruce Lake when I was 15 and I found Jesus Christ, you know, the walls started falling down. But I still kept them up. I still kept them up with God. You know, and this year, like, all those walls, they don't feel like anything anymore. Compared to God, they don't feel like anything. The crushing of the Spirit, it doesn't feel like anything compared to my hope in God. Because I know what miracles God does every single day, whether we can see it, whether we know it. And so I think what I thought was interesting was prayer. And the difference of prayer with, like, little faith and wishes and wants and that kind of prayer versus prayer of hope. Like, true prayer of hope, like living with hope. Hope in God. Not hope in your desires, not hope in your wants, not hope that he'll do everything that you want him to do. Now, granted, you can pray to him. Tell him what you desire, what you want and need. But you have to hope that God will do what he does best. He'll do what's right. He'll do what's right. He'll do what's just. He'll do what's best for you. He'll do what's best for you. Because we don't know what's best for us half the time. We don't. I don't. I don't, like, ever. Like, literally, my memory is so bad, I, like, go back and forth, and I'm just like, okay, Sam, take your glasses, put them on, and it's, like, literally, it's the hope one step foot in front of the other. And I've had to learn that because I've had a concussion this year, which has taught me really how to slow down, to look around me, to take care of myself, self-care and self-love. I've given all my love to everyone else. And now that I feel like I'm giving my love to, you know, to myself, but to God, I have more love to offer. I just feel like the love keeps pouring out, and I'm just like, okay, it is. It's endless. It is endless. The hope is endless. The love is endless. It's endless riches and mercy and grace. And as you saw, they questioned him. They questioned God. They questioned Moses. Moses questioned God the whole time. The whole time as this was happening, as they were making their trip through the wilderness. And we do it too. God's okay with that. He knows we don't understand. We can't see. But even when we're on our knees and we're crying and we're like, where are you? Like, what are you doing? Like, even when we're doing that, there's hope. You have to hang on to that hope. Because prayer without hope, what is it? Like, what's prayer without hope? The hope is what feeds the love and the continuation of life. And so, am I good? Yeah. All right. Well, then that's it, guys. And thank you so much for listening. That was great. Thanks, God. That was good. I appreciated that. All right.